Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside my co-host Mark Cox, and our executive producer always gets a name badge on this show because he does such a phenomenal job. Carl Middleman is right here. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
And Memorial Day weekend, you can look at this weekend and go, okay, what am I going to do? You can look at past Memorial Day weekends. And, you know, the one conflict I always have is, do you say happy Memorial Day? I mean, I'm not happy when when my mom's day that she passed goes by. I mean, do you say that? You do,
no,
don't you?
No, I mean, I think the day was set up as
Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day, right? I remember going with my grandparents down to pay tribute to my great grandparents and then she always go down and decorate their graves on this weekend. And but in a way, it is a celebration of what our ancestors did for us and what men and women who died in the service of our country gave us, the gift they've given us. So we can absolutely celebrate while remembering them this weekend with a cold beverage at some point and maybe a brat. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I get that, but it's still a solemn.
Everybody should take
a moment, and at least a moment, and talk and think about, or maybe talk over with your family or friends about what this Memorial Day weekend is and what it means. Heck, all you got to do is drive by Jefferson Barracks or any military cemetery. It's one of those things because, you know, some people will be sad all weekend. Some people will be at the Party Cove down Lake of the Ozarks. So
maybe a little cold for that. I mean, not that the temperature is going to be cold this weekend. I just can't imagine the water temperature is very warm yet. Do you think, Bo, does it matter?
I don't think it matters. I've been to it. Have you been down there?
Of course.
For the Party Cove?
Sure.
Did you see what I saw?
I don't know, brother. I didn't stay on a houseboat there like you did, but I floated through there a few times, and I saw some sights that I probably shouldn't talk about on the radio.
You cannot unsee.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just crazy down there. So everybody be careful if you're headed to the lake or if you're at the lake. My goodness. Yeah, because that Party Cove thing, that is, and it happens all over the country, actually.
Sure it does, yeah. Like out in Arizona, they got big Party Cove areas where they float, and yeah.
My cousin's husband's got this like 65-foot yacht on a lake up in Minnesota, and every weekend is like a Trump parade. And we were there last year. I mean, these huge Trump flags. It's kind of funny.
I love it because in Minnesota, summer is almost exactly 1 month long.
Yeah, you're right.
Middle of July, middle of August.
You get 4 weeks out of it, and then you're done. No, I'm just kidding you. I know it's longer.
That's right.
No,
there was a VHS tape that used to be passed around, and it was kind of a documentary style of the Party Cove, and it had video footage of the Party Cove, but it had audio from like an old Marlon Perkins
when the wildebeest comes up and shakes his rear end.
You know, one of those deals. I bet it's on YouTube. I bet you could go to YouTube and find it.
I'm getting a visual of it. Right. Right. Yeah. The thing about that is, and I'm not speechless about it. The thing about it is that it there's no way to avoid it happening. What I loved was the story that they did on the news one time about the guy whose job it was. He would scuba dive, and he would go down late in the season after the season was over, and all the stuff he would find on the bottom of the lake. And I'm thinking, dude, you probably need a chemical test for all the stuff you swam through to get down there.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. That's
hepatitis,
nasty.
Hepatitis, HPV.
Well, it is Memorial Day. A lot of people are obviously traveling, and many of them are going to be going camping, for example. A little later in the show, Bo, you're really going to enjoy this interview. We interviewed a Fox News correspondent who got assigned this great story. She's actually with the Fox Business Network, I think. She got assigned this great story to go glamping. And it's an entirely new experience. And as a camper, you know, I don't consider an RV glamping. I guess if you're a tent camper, you might think somebody that pulls a hard-sided RV, you sleep inside, you have air conditioning if you want it, an air, you know, a refrigerator if you've got electricity or gas. You might consider that glamping. No. This, have you heard of a yurt before?
I have. Okay. Of course, they got one out at the landing hub out in the Pacific.
Right. So this is a, she was at a resort up in the, like in the Catskills or something in upstate New York, and it is deluxe. Like you can rent different levels of this glamping, but you basically show up with nothing. Everything's provided for you. You can grill out on the, it's got beautiful views of the mountains, deluxe queen size beds, heat, air conditioning. I mean, it's really not camping. But it's called glamping.
So Lauren Cinetti went up there, and she's going to report for us.
Wow. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that. You know, it's funny because some of these RV parks, and I don't know if you've been in any of them, but these glamping type of RV parks where you can have a personal chef come by, they can come give you a massage. That's the kind of camping that some people like.
Was that like... I've never been to a place that fancy.
That's a spa.
They got them down in Florida and Alabama. You can park and look at the ocean. Well, I think in Jersey you guys parked near the ocean, didn't you?
Was that called the Coral Quartz Campground? You can get services like that.
Wow. There it is right there.
Luckily, it doesn't exist anymore.
Sad, though.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. I'll say it. We're looking forward to it. We got lots to get to for you today on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, including that fantastic story about glamping. And what you need to know as area pools start to ramp up for the long summer season. We're going to get to all that and more coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Let's get to Rex Curley. He is with the St. Charles Gun Show. It's going to be all weekend at the St. Charles Convention Center. Rex, welcome into the show.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. I have been a guest at your gun shows in the past, and I am looking forward to the one that's going on all weekend.
It's going to be a good one. We've had that annual show now for about 11 years, and it's always very, very successful for us. And always got a great representation of vendors, both locally, and then a lot of them come in from rural Missouri, and a lot of things that folks have never seen before.
So you won't be disappointed if you go to it. And I plan to get up there this weekend because I'm staying in town. I will not be at the Party Cove. But what are some of the, other than guns and knives, what are some of the other vendors that you have there? Do you have ice cream of the future? Do you have the My Pillow set up? Do you have what other things are going on there?
You know, for a while there, we did have a gentleman coming in selling pillows at the shows that were very popular, but I haven't seen him in a while. But our main thing that we'll have there, we'll have an awful lot of ammunition for sale. Nice. And at the gun shows, you can actually get all the ammunition, and the price is going down on it, and so that is a really good thing. And then just an awful lot of like gun cases and holsters, and you know, any and all accessories. And then the other thing that we have at the shows is we have a lot of buyers on site for those wanting to sell their personal collections or maybe their guns that they're not using anymore. And we just ask that if you bring them in, we have a police officer that'll check them at the front door for you. But please make sure that you pre-check them before you come to the show. Just make sure they're unloaded and everything. And then we've got these buyers in there, and it's not unusual for them to buy a $10,000 or even a $20,000 gun collection at a show.
Wow. Yeah. And they have to be in a case. Is that correct? Like when you walk into a gun range?
Yeah. Okay. Just have it cased and just make sure that you check and make sure it's unloaded.
Yep. The police officers are always great about that. They always check you in there at the front door. And, you know, speaking of ammo, you mentioned that it's always a great place. I would agree. I came out there last year looking for specifically some 30-30 Win, which I hadn't been able to find anywhere else. And it's there. Sometimes you got to get there early, but you can find it. And I'm glad to hear that you guys have got plenty of it now.
You know, even back in the worst shortages, we always had ammo at the shows, and I don't know how the vendors do it, because I can go into any sporting goods store around, you know, back at that time, and I mean, or Walmart or anywhere, and the shelves would be bare, and then I would walk into the gun show, and they would have a full complement of ammo, so they really never did let anybody down. And then the nicest thing about the ammunition right now is it is starting to soften a little bit on its price, and there, so you can come in and actually buy some stuff and get some bargains on some ammo now.
So people go to rkshows.com to find out more details?
That's correct.
Yep. Good. And what's the admission price again?
Tickets are $16 for ages 13 and up. Also, kids 6 to 13 are only $6.
And that's good for 2 days. They just get a stamp and they can come back in for Sunday.
Nice. And I believe I got a card in the mail the other day giving me $2 off.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. And you can get that and go into the website as well.
Oh, nice.
I'm in.
Okay. I like it.
Well, that's great. And is it one of those things that you cannot get through the whole thing in one day, and that's why you do it, the pricing this way?
And we like to, if the customer's there and if they're close to a deal, you know, on Saturday, and then they go home and think about it, we like to give them that option to come back in Sunday, you know, without having to pay again.
Sounds good. Rex Curley, thanks for joining us. We'll send people to rkshows.com.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, welcome back. We got Luis Valdez with us, spokesman for the Gun Owners of America. Luis, great to have you back again. How are you?
Doing good, and thanks for having me on the air. I love what you guys do.
Well, we love what you guys do at gunowners.org and up there fighting for us all the time. I know there's several things we need to get to today, but one thing I want to talk about was the Supreme Court deciding not to hear that gun case out of Maryland. I understand it's already in the court system, but they refuse to, like, take it and make an immediate stay or something, correct?
Yeah, from my understanding is that there's a number of cases working through its way in the court system right now. And traditionally, the Supreme Court wants these cases to go all the way through the processes before it gets appealed to them. And I think that's what happened with Maryland, that basically you had the plaintiffs possibly wanting to jump ahead of the line. The Supreme Court said, no, you got to go through the appellate system first before it reaches us, because they really want to see how the Bruin decision affects lower court decisions.
Well, it can't come soon enough. I mean, we've been waiting forever. In the meantime, all of my fine listeners over in Southern Illinois here are having their Second Amendment rights infringed on a daily basis.
Well, that's why we, GOA, have petitioned the Supreme Court to hear the Illinois Supreme Court case.
Yes.
The Illinois assault weapons case, because it's already gone through the Illinois Supreme Court and all of the different levels there. So we believe that case is good enough to reach the U.S. Supreme Court and finally be heard.
Well, let's hope so. You guys had a win, although maybe it's only temporary because it's a temporary restraining order, but against the ATF universal registration check rule. What's that all about?
So what happened was we, along with the state of Texas, filed a case in the 5th District Court of Appeals to request a temporary restraining order, just that. So all GOA members, all the residents of Texas, additionally members of Tennessee Firearms Association and the Virginia Citizens Defense League, who were co-plaintiffs, they all helped us in filing this case. They're covered right now under this temporary restraining order. Basically, the federal government could not enforce Biden's universal background check against anyone that's a member of those three organizations or a resident of Texas. And our goal is to make this a permanent injunction. We are going forward with, we of course know that the feds are going to appeal it, and we're already ready for that. We're going forward with that. And our goal is that with all of the judicial and historical evidence, because of the Bruin decision, you know, Texas history and tradition, that was the cornerstone of that ruling. It basically, if it didn't exist in 1791, it can't exist today. And universal background checks surely didn't exist in 1791. So that is our goal, is to make it a permanent injunction and basically tell the federal government, yeah, tough luck. You can't violate people's rights.
Yeah, no kidding. So if I understand this correctly, if this rule goes into effect, it's targeted at people who privately sell guns. And if you sell more than one gun a year, they want you to have to register and get a federal firearms license. Is that correct?
Well, the danger is it could even be one gun. They're not claiming that if you're making profit, and they vaguely define that, because it used to be that to be required to get a dealer's license, you had to be conducting a business. It had to be a way to provide your main source of income.
Right.
But now they're just saying, if you derive profit from the sale of a firearm, well, let's see here. 15, 20 years ago, when I was collecting revolvers, I could buy Smith & Wesson Model 10s for $110 a pop at the shops. Why? Because every police department was dumping them on the used market.
Yeah.
Well, because of inflation and because of collectability, they've gone up in price. If I sell my collection now, I'm technically deriving a profit, even though it's just, hey, it's the market. It's inflation. And ATF could stop me and put me in jail for that. I'm not doing it to make an income. It's just, that's how the market is. Things rise with value over time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad you guys are bringing this to people's attention. When they hear me say on here, week in and week out on 2A Tuesday, they're coming after your guns. People don't believe it. They buy into this nonsense that Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke or whatever his name is will tell you that we believe in the Second Amendment, but there have to be limits. No, they don't. They want to register your guns, and they want to come and take them away from you or keep you from being able to sell a handgun or give one to your grandchild, for God's sake.
Well, the biggest danger is they're not just wanting to register the guns. It's not that they want to track guns. They want to track gun owners.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will, because they don't care if they know how many guns you have. They just want to know if you own a gun. And if you do, they're going to treat you like, well, more than likely you own more than one. So they're going to come after you loaded for bear. And that's the biggest danger here. It's political persecution. It's political targeting. And it's creating a list, because on the federal level, there's a law that says the federal government can't create a firearms registry. A number of states have passed similar laws.
Right.
Okay, fine. So we can't track the guns. Fine. We'll track the gun owners. And that's their goal. It's every workaround. ATF even publicly admitted in Congress that they have a registry scheme, and the only reason why it's not considered a registry is the IT department hasn't turned on the searchable query function of that database. Literally, it's just a guy in an IT room somewhere that could go in with his mouse and click on to make it a searchable database.
Yeah. Well, I hope people go to gunowners.org and sign up, even for the email alerts, because you guys do such great work, and you're out there fighting these battles in court every day. People can donate or sign up there to help out with the fight. Louis, thanks for your time.
Thank you. And again, thank you for being a shining beacon of freedom and liberty and letting us be on the air to spread the word on what's going on, both on the state and the national level.
You bet. You're a great American. We appreciate that. Gunowners.org.
Come check out my tent. I ordered a bunch of crap off Sky Mall. I got my TV, my Xbox, DVD, awesome bed right there. DJ Roomba's in the mix. It's like I'm not even camping.
Parks and Rec. You got to love it. I remember that episode now that you played that clip. We were talking about this a little earlier. I love the camp, but there's a little bit of effort that goes into it generally, unless you want all of the enjoyment of camping without any of the headaches, I guess may be the way to look at it. Lauren Simonetti is joining us from the Fox Business Network. And Lauren, you consider yourself a camper?
I went camping twice.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Honeymoon, African safari.
Wow.
Definitely not hardcore camping. Second time, three kids, last Memorial Day weekend, hardcore traditional camping. We set everything up ourselves. We lasted one night.
Well, with three kids, in your defense, that's understandable.
And then I did what I did last night for a camping experience, number three.
Yeah.
Which was nothing like a camping experience. I went glamping, glamorous camping. So literally all you need is a bag. And I'm at the East Wind Resort in Big India, New York. And you show up. Okay, it was a little scary. We're so remote. I lost service on my drive here. And, you know, you're in the mountains. I'm like, uh-oh. But my GPS kept working, thank God, even though my phone wasn't.
Yes.
And I get to the resort, and it's just beautiful. And there's a restaurant. And I walked in, I checked in, and I had a glass of wine and a meal. And then they escorted me to my room, which had air conditioning, heat, and a bed. Oh, wait, and a shower. But technically, I'm camping. It was amazing.
Is it like a yurt? Is that what it is? Is that the right word for it?
A what?
A yurt. Like it's a round structured tent that's got wood frame and all that stuff, and then it's built out inside. I think it's called a yurt.
Okay, so there's some options. They call them A-frames here, so okay. It sounds like that. It's like a wood triangle with a deck.
Okay, yeah.
And then, so they have that one option where it's just a bed, and you look up, and like the triangle part is glass, so you can see the sky and the birds and everything else. And my producer and I, that was an option for us to sleep in, but we were a little bit scared to be alone. Then there's the hotel, which is what I got. And it has a private bathroom and a really nice bed and a coffee maker and a desk and all of that. And then this is the one I think would be perfect. It's the yurt, but it has a bathroom.
Yes, I like that because I'm looking at one of the options and it's about 220 square feet. And I watch those home shows, you know, where they do the tiny homes. And those are sometimes like 330 square feet. So, I mean, it's decently smaller than that.
So I've got to ask, I don't know what prices are like up there in New York, but what's it cost per night to stay in one of these?
Okay, guess. I'm curious. What would you imagine?
I would imagine at least 250.
Yeah, I would say between 200 and 300.
Bingo. So last night it was between 275 and 300.
Okay.
Prices do go up to 700 depending on the week.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the deal. No, you guys have to consider the area. It's year round. So in the winter you can do there's three Hunter Mountain, Windham Mountain, and Bel Air. So three ski resorts. There's hiking trails, there's mountain biking, there's a lake. So they offer activities for everybody throughout the year. They also have, everybody's into wellness. Are you guys into this wellness trend?
Depends on how you define it. I mean, to an extent, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
But did I eat several pieces of like banana bread last night? I also, yes.
Amen. There's a sauna here and an infrared sauna and yoga classes and candle making classes.
Wow.
Oh, I like candle making.
They have a DJ that comes on some nights, but they have a cocktail making class before the DJ. They have a foraging class, so you can go out in the woods and literally eat berries and plants.
And you got to do this for work, Lauren? You got paid to do this?
I feel really guilty. And can I say one more? It's a confession. So technically, you're supposed to disconnect, but they do have Wi-Fi, and obviously I need Wi-Fi to do my work.
Yes.
I have three kids. I watched like two Netflix shows last night.
It was truly a getaway for Lauren, for sure. Lauren, I love it. Yeah, thank you. I wonder how big, like you know, are you having cicada outbreak up there right now? Is that just in the Midwest?
We don't have, no, but we're good. We're good for now. Don't jinx us.
Yeah, sold, I'll be there.
if Kim knew she could fly to New York and get away from the cicadas to camp, I think she'd be gone.
That's right.
Actually, as I'm talking to you guys, I am looking at a huge spider that's on the wall right by me, but I'm just going to forget I saw it. Oh, I did want to tell you one other thing, since technically I am working and this is news. Campgrounds of America found that there's a whole new clientele that's into this glamping experience. 34% of new campers, never ever been camping, last year opted to glamp because it's easy. You don't have to bring anything.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. That was double the number from 2021. So everybody went camping during the pandemic because it made sense. And now we're opting to camping with luxuries. Lazy camping.
Lazy camping. I love it. Lauren, enjoy your time away from the chaos.
I have a few more hours.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
You bet. Lauren Simonetti from the Fox Business Network, glamping this weekend.
I would say you could ease your way into actual tent camping, but once you've experienced that she just described, it'd be a hard sell to then just say, listen, okay, I'll go into a tent.
I camp in an RV. So you can generally You can generally plug it in and have air conditioning if it's really hot.
That's glamping.
But that's a big difference from what she's doing right now.
I don't know.
Still a lot of work.
Pretty similar.
Still a lot of work. I'm going to stick into that story.
We'll be back. Stay right there with more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Pool music, Carl.
Absolutely,
it is. You think?
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, which means over the Memorial Day weekend, it's kind of officially the kickoff of pool season in most places. Unless you have your own pool, you're kind of waiting for the neighborhood pool to open up or the municipal pool, and this is the big weekend for that. Bo, you just go swimming in the lake when you're hot, right?
Well, you know what? I used to swim laps in my lake.
Yeah.
Until my nipple got bit by a fish and I was done with that. So it's true. I used to swim laps with my dog, and he was a horrible swimmer because he was a boxer, but I had a life vest for him.
Yeah.
And he and I would just go back and forth and back and forth. And then one day, boom, I got hit. And I was like, okay, I got to do something different.
I told you not to put the piranhas in the lake.
Don't stock the lake with piranha.
Why did you do that? Yeah, I'm not a big lake fan, but I love getting to the pool every once in a while. That's a full-time job if you own one or if you happen to manage them. And right now we have Doug Schaefer on the line, and he is the president of Unique Pool Management. Doug, great to get you on here, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm good.
Absolutely. And husband, we should mention, of the one and only Denise Schaefer. So
that's right.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of time this morning. We love
sure
Denise around here.
This was a hard get.
we had a hard time getting this guy's phone number. Well, it's a hard get this time of year, probably because you're so darn busy, right?
That is correct. It's very, very busy around here.
Give us, not to jump in on you there, Bo. Sorry. Give us an idea, Doug, the scope of what you do at Unique Pool.
You know, being the president, I kind of do everything around here because we're a very growing business. You know, we started out with just commercial management, and now we're doing a lot of residential. So I wear a lot of hats and help a lot of people just because we have a lot of new people that we've been hiring on and training. And as we grow, that's kind of what I do.
And Doug, do you also build pools as well or no?
No, we pretty much do everything but new construction. So
Gotcha. We'll
get involved with some renovations. So if someone has an existing pool that's, you know, a little dilapidated, you know, maybe hasn't opened in years, we'll get involved with those kind of projects, but we won't do any kind of new construction.
Interesting. So I don't know about Bo. I've never owned a house with a pool because I'm smart and I have friends that have houses with pools.
That is a good idea.
So I'm just wondering, you know, if you're, maybe you've got any advice for people just based on what you see at residential pools in terms of the new technology that's out there for keeping them clean. And
sure.
What is that? Is the trend saltwater these days? Is that easier
it
to
is.
Take care
that,
of?
I like saltwater. It's what I push. It's very easy for the homeowner. Very kind of set it and forget it is what I say. You know, they're very nice. UV is very popular. I don't do as much with UV, but on new construction, they're pushing that a lot. Really, it's just about anything you can do to get away from the old tab chlorine.
Yeah.
You know, no one likes that feeling of getting out and, you know, your skin's dry and you kind of stink like chlorine. And, you know, everyone likes that salt feel, you know, and the ease of it, obviously, with technology, you know, managing the chemistry. It really is nice to have something like a saltwater pool.
And it's easy
to convert. I mean, that's the thing is one thing that people don't understand out there is, you know, they hear the word saltwater pool and they think it's something special about the pool itself. And it really doesn't have to do with that. It's about putting something on the equipment side and then adding salt to the pool. you know, so it's a little confusing for people that never heard it. They think it's more of like how the pool was built, but it really has to do with just adding equipment to your existing pool.
Yeah, is it expensive?
It can be, but to be quite honest, in the long run, if it's something you're going to have for, you know, 5 or 10 years, it's actually cheaper than a traditional tab touring pool. I think the break point that people talk about is maybe 4 to 6 years when you start to actually save money over tabs. But with the way tab prices are right now, that might even be sooner than later. I mean, tabs are getting more and more expensive every day too.
Man, that's so true. That's so true, Doug, because I go to a, I have a hot tub, right? My thought tub, mm-hmm. I call it. But I went in to get chemicals and they said, you know, the chemical prices are going up so much higher. And so are salt, is salt water compared to chlorine, is it a cheaper endeavor or no?
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason it's cheaper, so salt itself is really cheap. I mean, you can buy salt at Home Depot for, you know, $7 or $8 a bag. So, you know, the initial adding of salt is not super expensive. And once you put salt in a pool, it's not going anywhere. And so in the process of generating chlorine, it's a cycle. So you break down the salt into sodium and chloride, and that's where your chlorine comes from, is the chloride. And when it reacts with bacteria and whatnot, it goes back with the sodium. So the salt never leaves. You're able to basically kind of generate free chlorine is kind of the way people describe it. Now, it costs you a little bit of power, but it doesn't cost you chemical. You know, once you have it in there, it'll stay in there. Now, if you lose water for, you know, various reasons, splash out and stuff like that, you'll have to add a little bit of salt, but very, very minor. You know, so that's why it's cheaper in the long run, because, again, you're not having to add chlorine every single day. It's you get it set up, and then you just add a little power, and it goes.
Well, you know, part of my background, Doug, I've done a little bit of everything, but as a parent, you end up getting involved in whatever sports your kids are involved in. And mm-hmm. I used to be the president of a local swim club. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget, because we had to use the school district pools,
yep.
The challenge was we had maintenance people who didn't quite understand the importance over a long holiday weekend when school was off about keeping up with the chlorine, and we'd come back after a long weekend, or the maintenance guy happened to be on. Like some pool music, Carl.
Absolutely, it
you
is.
You think?
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors, which means over the Memorial Day weekend, it's kind of officially the kickoff of pool season in most places. Unless you have your own pool, you're kind of waiting for the neighborhood pool to open up or the municipal pool, and this is the big weekend for that. Bo, you just go swimming in the lake when you're hot, right?
Well, I no, you know what? I used to swim laps in my lake.
Yeah.
Until my nipple got bit by a fish and I was done with that. So it's true. I used to swim laps with my dog, and he was a horrible swimmer because he was a boxer, but I had a life vest for him.
Yeah.
And he and I would just go back and forth and back and forth. And then one day, boom, I got hit. And I was like, okay, I got to do something different.
I told you not to put the piranhas in the lake.
Don't stock yeah, right. the lake with piranha.
Why did you do that? Yeah, I'm not a big lake fan, but I love getting to the pool every once in a while. That's a full-time job if you own one or if you happen to manage them. And right now we have Doug Schaefer on the line, and he is the president of Unique Pool Management. Doug, great to get you on here, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm good.
Absolutely. And husband, we should mention, of the one and only Denise Schaefer. So
that's right.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of time this morning. We love
sure
Denise around here.
This was a hard get.
we had a hard time getting this guy's phone number. Well, it's a hard get this time of year, probably because you're so darn busy, right?
That is correct. It's very, very busy around here.
Give us, not to jump in on you there, Bo. Sorry. Give us an idea, Doug, the scope of what you do at Unique Pool.
You know, being the president, I kind of do everything around here because we're a very growing business. You know, we started out with just commercial management, and now we're doing a lot of residential. So I wear a lot of hats and help a lot of people just because we have a lot of new people that we've been hiring on and training. And as we grow, that's kind of what I do.
And, Doug, do you also build pools as well or no?
No, we pretty much do everything but new construction. So gotcha. We'll get involved with some renovations. So if someone has an existing pool that's, you know, a little dilapidated, you know, maybe hasn't opened in years, we'll get involved with those kind of projects, but we won't do any kind of new construction.
Interesting. So I don't know about Bo. I've never owned a house with a pool because I'm smart and I have friends that have houses with pools.
That is a good idea.
So I'm just wondering, you know, if you're maybe you've got any advice for people just based on what you see at residential pools in terms of the new technology that's out there for keeping them clean and
sure.
What is that? Is the trend saltwater these days? Is that easier to take care of?
I like saltwater. It's what I push. It's very easy for the homeowner. Very kind of set it and forget it is what I say. You know, they're very nice. UV is very popular. I don't do as much with UV, but on new construction, they're pushing that a lot. Really, it's just about anything you can do to get away from the old tab chlorine.
Yeah.
You know, no one likes that feeling of getting out and, you know, your skin's dry and you kind of stink like chlorine. And, you know, everyone likes that salt feel, you know, and the ease of it, obviously. With technology, you know, managing the chemistry, it really is nice to have something like a saltwater pool. And it's easy to convert. I mean, that's the thing is one thing that people don't understand out there is, you know, they hear the word saltwater pool and they think it's something special about the pool itself. And it really doesn't have to do with that. It's about putting something on the equipment side and then adding salt to the pool. You know, so it's a little confusing for people that never heard it. They think it's more of like how the pool was built, but it really has to do with just adding equipment to your existing pool.
Yeah, is it expensive?
It can be, but to be quite honest, in the long run, if it's something you're going to have for, you know, 5 or 10 years, it's actually cheaper than a traditional tab chlorine pool. I think the break point that people talk about is maybe 4 to 6 years when you start to actually save money over tabs. But with the way tab prices are right now, that might even be sooner than later. I mean, tabs are getting more and more expensive every day, too.
Man, that's so true. That's so true, Doug, because I go to I have a hot tub, right? My thought tub, mm-hmm. I call it. But I went in to get chemicals. And they said, you know, the chemical prices are going up so much higher. And so is salt water compared to chlorine, is it a cheaper endeavor or no?
Yeah. And the reason it's cheaper, so salt itself is really cheap. I mean, you can buy salt at Home Depot for, you know, $7 or $8 a bag. So, you know, the initial adding of salt is not super expensive. And once you put salt in a pool, it's not going anywhere. And so in the process of generating chlorine, it's a cycle. So you break down the salt into sodium and chloride, and that's where your chlorine comes from, is the chloride. And when it reacts with bacteria and whatnot, it goes back with the sodium. So the salt never leaves. You're able to basically kind of generate free chlorine is kind of the way people describe it. Now, it costs you a little bit of power, but it doesn't cost you chemical. You know, once you have it in there, it'll stay in there. Now, if you lose water for, you know, various reasons, splash out and stuff like that, you'll have to add a little bit of salt, but very, very minor. You know, so that's why it's cheaper in the long run, because again, you're not having to add chlorine every single day. It's you get it set up and then you just add a little power and it goes.
Well, you know, part of my background, Doug, I've done a little bit of everything, but as a parent, you end up getting involved in whatever sports your kids are involved in. And mm-hmm. I used to be the president of a local swim club. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget, because we had to use the school district pools,
yep.
The challenge was we had maintenance people who didn't quite understand the importance over a long holiday weekend when school was off about keeping up with the chlorine. And we'd come back after a long weekend, or the maintenance guy happened to be on vacation for a few days, and the pool yep. would be green, right?
Sure.
So what we finally convinced them to do was to go to the UV system,
yep.
and it cost a little bit of money to upgrade to it, but there were a whole lot of advantages, right? Because for people that have maybe have asthma or breathing problems, they're also not dealing with that layer of smell that you get off the top of a chlorine pool if you're in there swimming laps.
Yeah, I mean, the more consistent you can get with your chemical killing is also better. You know,
yeah.
That's always what plagues people when it comes to the older systems, is when it has a lot of hands-on application, then you might get high chlorine levels one day and zero chlorine levels the next, and that's never good. You really want to get a consistent system, whether it's on a commercial pool or a residential. And that's, you know, on residential, something like a salt system. On a commercial pool, we use more of like liquid chlorine, but we use pumps that, like a peristaltic pump, that'll pump in the same chlorine every day, whether someone touches it or not.
Yeah.
And so you get consistency, and consistency is very important when it comes to chemistry on a swimming pool.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that comes to mind as, you know, swimming as a kid, which, you know, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is the greatest weekend ever because the pool's opening up. But let's talk about opening your eyes underwater. As a kid, I can do it. As an adult, I can't. Is there a different effect on your eyes in the salt compared to the chlorine?
Well, so, you know, the red eye thing is something that always gets people when it comes to pools. You know, you hear someone swimming in a pool and they go, man, my eyes are burning and the chlorine's getting me. And what people don't realize is actually what mostly causes bad irritation to your eyes is the pH. And so an ideal pH in a swimming pool is like 7.5. And the reason that's ideal for a swimming pool, it's not because that's the best pH to kill bacteria. It's actually the chlorine's more effective at a lower pH. But it's because your eye, that's the pH of your eyeball, are right really close to it.
Oh, wow.
So when the pH is off, then typically what we find is probably the chlorine's off too. So it's not that, you probably smell it. They probably have high chlorine. Then their pH is all wacky. But the reason your eyes are burning is because the pH is off, and it's probably really low. And you basically, you're swimming in a little bit of acidic water, and it's just irritating your eye. But everyone always associates it with chlorine, but it's really probably more of a pH issue.
And it doesn't mean that somebody peed in the pool, right?
No, typically no.
You have to ask, right?
It's not that they didn't pee in the pool. It's just that's not what's causing that problem.
Oh, my funny. God. We're talking with Doug Schaefer, who's the president of Unique Pool Management, because this is it. I mean, this is the big weekend, the big grand opening for neighborhood pools and a lot of municipal pools and stuff like that, which means you've probably been working some 12 and 14-hour days, right, Doug?
It is, and then on Saturday we start the countdown. You know, there's 101 days in the summer, and so we have our countdown to Saturday, and then once Saturday hits, we start counting the other way until we get to September. So for us, it's 101 days of the summer that we try to keep these things open and clear and blue for everyone to have a good, enjoyable summer.
You know, Doug, I got to tell you, I've known Mark here for a couple of years now, and he said, oh, it's great to have somebody to, that owns a pool that you can just go enjoy it. People think about the same way about boat owners, having
True.
A friend with a
That's
boat
right. yep.
or a
yep.
camper. but some of my favorite memories are in, going to my dad's and in his apartment complex. I remember because my parents split when I was 7. We'd go, and for 2 solid weeks, we'd spend all of our time in the pool. I do want to ask you about Unique Pool Management. So you said you do commercial, the big Olympic-sized pools, but are you doing residential, like somebody can hire you to make sure their chemicals are right?
Yeah, we do both. So we have about 300 lifeguards that work for us, at 40 or so commercial, like, homeowners associations or golf clubs, things like that. And then we also have a residential side. So, if someone doesn't want to take care of their pool, they can hire us to come out and once a week, clean it, check chemistry, do those kind of things. And we kind of do everything in between. Some homeowners just want us to open it and then they manage it themselves. Or, some people want a total hands-off experience. We offer anything in between, so we'll do whatever it takes to get someone swimming in their pools.
Like lifeguards?
That's the one thing we don't do. There is a company out there that'll do backyard lifeguards. That's actually a pretty popular thing.
Wow, for parties.
So if people have parties and they want to, be able to enjoy their party themselves, but know that the people that are there at their house are going to be safe. There are companies out there that will hire backyard lifeguards, essentially.
My guess is this is probably maybe last summer beat it, but it's got to be one of the most challenging markets in a long time to keep employees and to find them in the first place. And I only mention that because, I'm not in charge of my neighborhood pool or Unique Pool would be managing it. But with the company that is, we've already been told so far they've only found one lifeguard to work at our neighborhood pool. And because of that, they're having to limit hours on when our pool can be open. Now, how do you deal with that when you need 300 people?
It's tough. We start hiring people back in November. Obviously, we start with our staff from the previous year and try to bring them back. And we have a big referral program between our old staff to try to find new people. And we're just constantly advertising and trying to find new people. We offer our own certification, so we might, depending on the area, might give someone a free Red Cross certification to come work for us.
Oh, yeah.
We have all kind of different incentives to try to get people. And it's a battle for us from now until the end of the season. You know, it's we'll never have enough lifeguards. And so we're always on the hunt. It's a great summer job. I mean, for someone who's 15, 16, 17, or even someone who's going through college, it's a great job because you have the summertime, you have your job, but then you know when school starts back up, you don't have to worry about quitting because we're pretty much done, you know, so you can go back to school and do your thing. So, and it's a good fun job, you know. I mean, people get to work with their friends, they're out in the sun, they're at the pool. What could be more fun than that?
Well, I've got to believe that in the pandemic era, so many people were appreciating their backyards if they had one, and a lot of pools have been installed, or even above ground pools. And I'll be honest with you, I live in the woods, so we bought, you know, like the $129 13-foot wide pool you plug into the wall. Not a big deal, but it's just a way to, Mark. This is not rich people problems.
No. I'm just envisioning you out there in the, you know, in your skivvies, hopping in the pool out in the woods.
Well, it's really for my wife, but I just wanted to say that, you know, a pool is a great respite. It's a great place to go to just to chill out, whether you're out there in your skivvies, like Mark just described. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good
so
stuff.
My point is it's a good business to be in for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic definitely, it didn't hurt the pool industry because, you know, with no one being able to take vacations and leave, a lot of people really put money in their backyards and, you know, had their staycations, as they call them. So, the pool industry has been growing in the last couple of years because of that.
Well, Doug, you I don't know if you need more business or if you got your hands full, but give people a way to get a hold of you down at Unique Pool Management in case they're in need of help with their pools.
Yeah, I mean, the best way is to go to our website, and it's just uniquepoolmanagement, all spelled out, .com. And or if you just search us on Google, you'll find us. And there's a ton of information on there, too, stuff about saltwater. So if someone has, you know, curious about what it takes to, you know, convert to a saltwater pool or how it works, that information's on there. Or if someone wants to apply to work for us, if they have a 15- or 16-year-old that wants to work, we run pools all over St. Louis County, St. Charles County. We pretty much have pools everywhere. So they can do everything through our website. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Makes it easy. Hey, Doug Schaefer with Unique Pool Management, thanks for your time today.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. Give our best to Denise. Right. Absolutely. Oh, we'll do. Yeah, all right. All right. Great getting Doug on here. Bo, what do you think, man? You ready to go swimming?
Almost. I haven't gotten set up yet. And I'm not really going to be swimming. I'm going to be just floating. Probably.
Oh, you just he's a floater.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
By the way, this segment of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge. They're right there in De Pere. Stop in for a knowledge base you will not find at any gun store besides Razorback Armory. Start your journey. Get directions. You can even make an appointment to go have their undivided attention at RazorbackArmory.com.
All right.
Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service, everyone.
Amen. And I hope you remember the reason for the Memorial Day weekend to begin with, but also enjoy that great weather out there this weekend. We'll see you next time around on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.